listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. They're talking about James Harden's contract right now on ESPN. Who is she? Do you know her?
I don't watch that show. I don't know her name.
Annika?
Monica, I think he said.
Monica?
Yes.
Don't know her. Did she play in the WNBA or something? No one knows. Anyway.
I can look it up.
No, it's impossible to find this answer.
That's kind of what the internet's for. You find out things.
It's impossible to find out who she is. She's talking to Jay Will right now, who's in a hoodie and a jacket. Like it's the middle of winter.
I told you, fashion knows no weather, John.
Fashion knows weather.
Not in summer. Not inside.
Dress like it's summer.
It's climate controlled inside.
What do you have on today? A t-shirt, right?
Yeah, it's Houston.
Is it climate controlled in here?
No, it's actually pretty cold. RJ was just blowing on his hands. It's not controlled climate.
Are you cold in there, RJ? Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, it's always cold in this building. They have no control over the air conditioning here. James Harden signs a 2-year, $68.6 million deal, 33 this year guaranteed, 35.6 player option next year. It's less than I thought James was going to get. It's less years. It's less money than I thought James was going to get. He's one of the poors now because he doesn't have a $47 million contract, right?
Poverty-stricken James Harden.
James Harden, but it's still, is it? So will James Harden outplay his $33 million contract this year?
I'd have to start looking at guys who make that amount.
I will say he will.
Because he doesn't have to be a max guy
in the regular season. In the regular season, he will. He's going to be, okay, let's say, okay, what are James' numbers this year? If he averages 24 this year, is it a successful year?
No.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
He's only there to win titles. I don't care about his regular season stuff anymore. Are we done with this? The regular season fake accolades for him? Who cares? He is there, and P.J. Tucker went there as Daryl Morey wants to, I don't know, run it back with the 2018-19 Rockets, I guess.
What do you think, James, title. What did James average?
I can look at it right now.
Okay, what is it?
He averaged 21 points last year.
21 for Philadelphia.
Yeah.
22.5 for Brooklyn. 22 total. 22.0 points per game last year.
It is not. He could average 30 in the regular season, but if he's taking two shots in the second half of a game six and the excuse was, well, the ball just didn't find me in an elimination game, then no, it's not a successful year.
Well, no. We know what he's going to do in the postseason.
Then right? What does this regular season stuff matter? He's not there to have regular season success. You think Daryl Morey got him because, well, he loves him. That's why he got him. But he got him because he believes he's one of the pieces that's going to put Philly over the top for a title.
What did he average in the postseason?
I don't have that in front of me.
18.6. So he went down in the postseason.
Like he always does.
Like he does. That's what he do. That's what he do. He
shot 40% from the field. His 3-point percentage didn't take a massive dip. It might even have gone up. He was about almost at 37%. But overall, he was 40% from the field.
But he took six threes a game.
Well, that's because he's a guy. He took a lot of threes in Houston, but a lot of this three stuff in Philly wasn't a guy who could blow by anybody anymore.
It's actually what he took during the regular season, 6.7.
Yeah, the three.
He's taken
13 threes at points here.
In fairness, should he be doing the same thing that he did here when he's got Joel Embiid?
He should not be taking as many shots, but the skill of blowing by people you would hope didn't go away, and he couldn't do that last year.
No, he couldn't do that, and he can't do that anymore. But he should. His game should change here. He averaged 13.2 threes in 2018-19. 13.2 threes a game. Double what he's shooting now. Double what he did this year.
He's no longer the best player on the team, so he should not be shooting as many shots. The question is not about his usage. It's about how effective he will be. And the James Harden talk is always about, well, he's done this and he's done that. But it always comes down to he's at a point in his career and he's looked at as a guy who's supposed to be part of championship teams. So whatever he does in the regular season, great, I guess. He appears to be in pretty good shape from the workout stuff we've seen. There was like this thing where they're sitting with each other, PJ Tucker and Joel Embiid are all in the gym, and James looks to have lost some weight, although angles always play a part with James for whatever reason. But all we're going to do in May or June is discuss what he did again to disappear. And he's not our problem anymore.
No. It's still disappointing with Daryl, if you want to know the truth. He didn't give him the max deal and the four-year deal that I thought he was going to. Actually, it's a pretty smart contract. But 33 a year for James, as the player that he is right now, 35 next year with a player option, I think he will be worth that in the regular season. In the postseason, he's going to be James again.
It's something that...
And in Philadelphia, that team, they need to win at the highest level. Yeah, they're discussing it right now. Are the Sixers one of the best teams in the East?
What do you mean? Top four, sure. But
are they a top two team?
No, because they have two guys relatively not dependable in the playoffs. Joel Embiid, it wasn't his fault. Freak injury cost them games in the playoffs. There's always a little something going on. Now, the Pascal Siakam elbow in the face in the first round ain't really his fault. It's Doc Rivers' fault for leaving him in the game when they're up like 29 points late in the fourth quarter. Shout out to Doc. But they have two guys who are relatively not dependable. So, no, they're not one of the top four teams or top two teams in the East. And if we're talking about the playoffs, I would struggle to keep them at four because I just expect one of them, particularly James, to trick off and cost them a series.
It's Milwaukee,
mm-hmm.
Miami,
Boston, and it should be Philly. And the regular season-wise, I think that'll be the case.
Or is it Brooklyn?
The talent would suggest, say, Brooklyn, but we had that discussion about what they're going to be. That's not a formula for success, what's going on there. But talent-wise, Brooklyn's a top probably two, maybe right along with Milwaukee. Boston, Milwaukee, and Brooklyn as far as current talent, sure, top two, three, whatever. But what do we expect from them?
When we were going through, you kind of scared me yesterday when we were going through the West teams and where how the Rockets are going to pick up 40 wins.
I said 35. You say 40?
I want them to get to 40 wins.
Have you found a way for them to get to 40 wins?
There's no chance.
No.
There's zero chance.
They're not getting 40. 40 would, what was 40 wins for the last year? Didn't that pretty much get you a playoff spot, at least a play-in? You'd think that would be a play-in spot for the Rockets at a minimum. They're not a play-in team.
The Pelicans are going to be better. The Mavs are probably going to be better with the addition. We'll see with Christian Wood. The Grizzlies are good. The Clippers, the Warriors, the Suns, the Nuggets, the Blazers are probably going to be, well, they're going to be better, but I don't know how good. Utah won't be. No. And the Lakers are.
You would think. You suspect.
I don't suspect. I actually don't.
You don't think they're going to be better?
No. I don't think they're a playoff team again.
I didn't say playoffs, but better. They won 33 games last year. You don't think they'll be better than that?
Probably. But they're still going to be very extremely disappointing.
The Clippers won 42 games last year, and they were eliminated by Minnesota in the play-in. So 42 wins got you the 9 seed last year. The Rockets ain't winning. You better hope for 35.
If the Rockets get to 30...
That's a 10-game improvement. That's a pretty big improvement. I know they weren't playing defense. I know they should play better defense. They'll win the things.
They have to win 30 this year. They have to win over 30 this year. They have to win over 30 this year. They were a pitiful team last year.
I guess they'll be pitiful this year.
No, they're not going to be pitiful. They're not going to be pitiful.
I told you on the teams.
Ask Alex Caruso.
He said they're interesting. He didn't say they'd be good.
No, he said he's very interested in
this team. Very interested. That very interesting doesn't mean you're going to be good.
I think they're going to
look at the teams. Who can you look at right now and say the Rockets are going to be better than? Off rip. In the West.
In the West, who they're going to be? Oklahoma City.
That's one, which they were four games worse than Oklahoma City last year, but okay.
They're going to be much better than them this year.
Okay. That's one. Who else?
The Kings.
The Kings were 10 games better. Yeah. And have added players. They've got their own rookie that they like.
Spurs.
That should be the case. They lost DeJounte Murray, and they're tanking for Wembanyama.
The Jazz.
If Donovan Mitchell isn't there, yes. If he's still there and they keep whatever they keep, that's going to be a struggle for the Rockets. But right, let's say they trade him. Let's say they get rid of him.
Jalen Green makes a Donovan Mitchell type.
Oh, boy.
He makes a Donovan Mitchell type improvement this year.
That's fine. But if the Jazz keep Bogdanovich and Jordan Clarkson, they would still be better than the Rockets. But let's say they trade Donovan Mitchell. I'll give you that one. They're better than the Jazz, the Thunder, the Kings, and the Spurs. That means they're how many teams better than them? 11 currently. Who else are they better than?
The Pelicans.
You just said the Pelicans are going to be pretty good.
Okay, how many under-over games that I play?
55.
Oh, in what world does Zion play 55 games?
I gave you a number. Under.
I'm going to go 41.
41 for a team who won 36 and 46 and were much better than that when after the CJ McCollum trade. The Pelicans will be better than the Rockets.
Watch. They're going to be right there with the Pelicans.
Not a chance.
Watch it.
Not a chance.
I'm telling you. 913 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You don't think they can win 40 games? Are you thinking they'll be right there with the Pelicans?
Right there. Well, the Pelicans are going to lose to Zion in the second week of the season.
They didn't have Zion at all last year and still won 36.
I know. And
they were a 500 team pretty much when they traded after they traded for McCollum. They're not going to be with the Pelicans.
Pelicans. That's what I'm saying. Maybe even the Clippers. We'll see.
With healthy Kawhi and Paul George.
Oh, really? When's that happen too, by the way? The healthy Kawhi.
Even then,
let me see it.
Even last year without him, they won 42 games.
That's right where the Rockets are going to be.
Not a chance.
Yep. That's on the Rockets right now.
Have the Rockets won?
Jalen Green makes a Donovan Mitchell ascension.
Did the Rockets
in
win
the league?
Have the Rockets won 42 games in the last 2 years?
That's hard to say. No one can know.
No, it's easy.
It's impossible to figure that one out.
They won 20 last year, and they won. Let me find it. It's pretty easy.
It's impossible to know.
It's easy. They won 37 games the last 2 years. No, it's pretty easy. I just found it. It took me 5 seconds.
It's impossible to find out. No one knows that. So anyway, don't want to talk about that anyway. It's 9:15 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Glenn Davis joining the spot on the hour right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm talking about Lafayette right now. Love Lafayette. You will love Lafayette. Have you been there? Have you been there? They've got everything you could want there. Everything to do. You want to take a trip? They've got wonderful restaurants. They got great nightlife, attractions, shopping, outdoor adventure, trails. If you're a hiker, if you want to see. I mean, there's so much to do. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. You will love it, too. And if you're looking for a great place to go that's affordable, that's the key. And, oh, by the way, go to eatlafayette.com, eatlafayette.com, and you can find out the restaurants that are participating in Eat Lafayette, the campaign that they're doing this summer like they did last summer. It's awesome. So you drive, okay, so it's not going to cost you that much. Gas prices are going down. You drive 3.5 hours down the road. The hotels are affordable, nice hotels that are very, very affordable. Restaurants that are very affordable. The nightlife is great. I would suggest go to the Rockin' Bowl. It is really, really cool. Really a great place. It's a huge, huge bar, bowling alley, and concert venue. Just fantastic. And then there's always concerts. There's always a band's playing. There's always festivals going on. Go to eatlafayette.com and see everything that's going on in Lafayette. You're looking for a great place to get away for a couple, 3 days. Eatlafayette.com. Hey, Houston, Eat Lafayette.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit hrp.net today. Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found the Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm not Lance. I'm sure John has something planned for this segment, but I have a question for him. He's known to say aggressive things. That tradition continued today earlier in the show.
What? I didn't say what.
You rename the Nets the Brooklyn MCs. And I'm not going to tell people what that means. They can listen back to the show and figure out what that means. So RJ's wearing a Brooklyn MC hat right now, apparently.
Well, the football teams are FC, right?
Soccer teams are FC. Football teams.
Football.
Yes,
football.
Yes. Football teams, yes.
Yeah, we call it, me and Glenn Davis, we call it football.
They'll have Glenn Davis on the next segment.
Yep.
He was out at the friendly between Man City and Club America. So you say aggressive. Yes, Club America. You say aggressive things. Sometimes all
I don't remember that.
Sometimes
okay.
Consistently.
Huh.
Has something you said ever cost you any money?
Has what?
Has something you said ever cost you money? Like in a card game or whatever. I don't know. Can you think of a time where something you said cost you money?
No.
No. Okay, then you're not Joe Lacob of the Golden State Warriors.
Oh.
Something he said cost him $500,000.
500 large.
According to Adrian Wojnarowski, Joe Lacob, the Golden State Warriors owner, was fined $500,000 for unauthorized communications regarding collective bargaining. He went on one of his players' podcasts, not Draymond Green. He went on the Andre Iguodala Point Forward podcast and talked about why he thought the tax bill for his team is unfair. There's some talk during the playoffs about their salary, what they pay out past the tax, contributing to their victories. He took issue with that. But what he said in the podcast was this. The truth is we're only $40 million more than a luxury tax. Now, that's not small, but it's a massive number. We're $200 million over in total because most of that is incredible. Most of that is this incredible penal luxury tax. And what I consider to be unfair, and I'm going to say it on this podcast, and I hope it gets back to whoever's listening, and obviously it's self-serving for me to say this, but I think it's a very unfair system because our team is built by all top eight players. All are drafted by this team. Of course, Andrew Wiggins was not drafted. They traded for him. But his point remains is, why am I getting punished like this for building a team pretty much from the ground up? And the NBA said, oh, it got back to us. We're going to hit you with $500K.
Half a milli.
For that.
For that.
Yes.
Ooh. Adam Silver ain't playing.
No, I told you not to talk about this.
Listen, if Adam Silver tells you don't say it, don't say it.
Yeah.
Half a million because he complained about the luxury tax.
In terms of saying things that cost your organization money, Daryl Morey, then Joe Lacob. Those are the top
Daryl
two.
Oh, Daryl Morey way surpassed.
Yeah, I know. He's up here. Yeah. Joe Lacob's down here.
It's as far as you could reach your arm what Daryl did versus what
Joe Lacob
25
did.
Mil
Woo.
And more because it still continues.
It still goes.
I mean, what he cost him. I think the Rockets are back in China.
Are they now?
I think they are. I'm pretty sure there are some teams though that aren't still.
Lakers in China?
Well, LeBron.
LeBron said
wherever LeBron is,
I bet they are.
Yeah. No, he's LeBron is, he for sure is going to make sure that he's got his Chinese money coming in. Are you kidding me? So what did Jeff Passan say? Because he should be fined.
Jeff Passan, not a friend to Houston.
No, he's not a Houston guy.
No. Let me find it. From a member of the Killer Bees show I used to be on, Jeremy Branham, he tweeted it. But Jeff Passan was talking about why or who can challenge the Yankees. The Yankees have the best record in baseball. And he pointed to the Astros as one of the biggest threats. Apparently, the Astros are in Tier 2. I don't know who's in Tier 1. Maybe it's the Dodgers or something. I don't know. But the Astros are in Tier 2 of the five biggest threats to the Yankees. He goes through their record, what their projected record is, division title, all that stuff. But this is what he says. Why they could take down the Yankees. Because they can pitch with them and hit with them and field with them. And they did it in 19, and they did it in 17. And he puts a little asterisk above 17, 2017. He goes on to talk about the players and all that stuff. But he did not. He could not help himself, as Jeremy said, and he put the asterisk above 17.
You know what he can do?
Kiss an asterisk?
He can kiss my asterisk.
Mm-hmm. A shirt that you love.
That's my favorite shirt. Kiss my asterisk. And I wore it to a Washington Nationals game when the Astros weren't even playing. Mm-hmm. I forget who. There was the Mets and Nationals. And this guy that was up in front turned around and he goes, I love that shirt. Thank you.
Had he been drinking?
He had been.
Yeah, I bet.
He was dancing every in between every inning when they put the music
on.
He
was having a good time.
Yeah, he was having himself a good time. I like that guy, though. Both these games today are in AT&T Houston, so we got that. Not only MLB, but Iskowski makes a good point. Even though CBS, for whatever, yeah, you know what? Cole was probably next in line. It would probably be tomorrow.
Yes.
But Cole pitched on Sunday, so he's not pitching today.
Yeah, what we talked about is we're trying to figure
out
who the Yankees were going to put out on the mound for these two games. And the next time that Cole would have pitched was the second game after coming back from the All-Star break, and the second game happened to be part of a doubleheader. He's not going to pitch on 3 days rest in the regular season. So it likely won't be Gerrit Cole, so John won't get to yell at him. It'll be someone else he can yell at.
Yeah, let's see if anybody has got the start. We've got Talon in game one. We have to believe CBS. What CBS told us, it was going to be Cole in game two, but I don't see him starting on 3 days rest. We shall see. They talk about in the post, Gerrit Cole says, we know they're tough, okay? Try to treat it like another game, but it's not. They're going to be there's going to be a little more adrenaline. There's obviously great players. They match up well. And they pitch well against us. And there's some competitive juice in there. Yep, there is. This is good. I love this. This is going to be a fun day. I've been looking forward to this for a while. I don't see. No one has who the Yankees are starting. Maybe they're going to use an opener.
It's certainly possible.
Yeah, it's real possible.
Yeah.
Although they could use one of their guys who pitched on Saturday or Friday or whatever. They've got guys who are rested now. So they could throw Severino. They could throw whomever. I would imagine, you know what? I'm going to bet that Severino starts one of these. We'll have to look. We'll have to see. But I wouldn't throw an opener against the Astros, would you? No. You got to try and win this game. 713-780-3776 is the number. Well, we've got Glenn Davis. And if you've got a question for Glenn Davis, come on in. 713-780-3776. You're more than welcome. We'll have Glenn Davis on talking about the friendly when we come back here.
We were talking about the Manti Te'o, Doc. He's a part of it.
He's in it?
He's in, I think.
Oh, if I'm him, I'm like.
I'm looking at the trailer. He's in on it. He's a part of talking about his situation and how he got paid duped and stuff.
He got paid.
I don't know, but he's going to be there discussing it.
I'd pay. If I had an extremely embarrassing situation, I would pay too. If I got paid, I'd talk about it too. Yeah. I'm with you on this one, Mante.
Yeah, of course. You don't care.
No.
Cut that check and you're all in.
That's it. I'm in. I don't care. Give me a hat. Give me a hat from your favorite team, and I'm in.
I don't know if we should discuss this. We got Glenn Davis, but I want to talk about the hat you gave me.
What's the matter with the hat I gave you?
I mean, we can discuss it as for News of the Weird. I mean, we should save it for tomorrow because I think the people need to have to maybe be your judge, jury, and executioner. I'm not sure.
All right.
We need a kangaroo court about this hat.
927 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, I'm talking about my peeps over at Artisan Grange. Look, there is a new way to dip. Hemp in a pouch made of hemp. So what you're putting in your mouth right now, that tobacco, it's killing you, okay? It is. It's hurting you. It's tobacco. It's in underneath your lip. There are a lot of health risks that you are taking right now. Hemp, not so much. No, you're not going to have a health risk with hemp. You're not going to have a health risk with CBD. Actually, there's a lot of insight. I can't tell you that you're going to feel better, but I can tell you that people are raving about what the CBD is what CBD does for them. You want that sensation under your lip. That's what you're looking for. You want tobacco flavor. You got that. They've got that tobacco flavor in the Dew Blend. Traditional tobacco flavors. They've also got original fresh flavors, citrus, ice mint, berry, and more. But you want to dip, but you want to do it healthier. You know what? It's gross what you're doing. It's just gross. She hates it, and she always will hate it. She won't hate when you go dip with hemp. She just won't. If you go to Artisan Grange, let's do it this way, 975dip.com. Do it healthier. Do it safer. You can dip. You can still get the satisfaction. You can still get the same flavor. 975dip.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. Our good friend Glenn Davis joining us here on the show. Soccer matters, and soccer mattered last night in the city of Houston. Glenn, with an extra hour on Tuesday night, I called his show. Can't wait till the World Cup comes so we get... I told him we got to have Glenn Davis on every morning to talk about what's going on in the World Cup when it gets here. And then in 26, holy crap, he's going to have to work his tail off here on this show. Glenn Davis joining us this morning here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What's up?
John, good morning. Hey, by the way, I loved when you called in out of the blue when we were doing the live show down at the Manchester City training session. I thought that was fantastic.
Was he sober?
No.
No, he sounded good. He had his radio voice.
I probably wasn't. I don't remember, but I probably wasn't. So how was it? Okay. 61,000. Was that good, bad? Did you want to sell out? What?
Well, I think they probably always want to sell out, but I think if you put 61,000 people in one place, it's pretty impressive. Couple things that stood out to me was that I actually think there were more Manchester City fans there, but there's a reason for that, because Club America is like maybe the New York Yankees in Mexico, where a lot of Mexican fans do not like Club America because they're Televisa-owned and they're the big corporate team and they get all the big games and have a lot of history as well. But those fans may have been in Manchester City jerseys. And let's face it, this is the Premier League champions 2 years in a row. They're going for a third. But all in all, just a fantastic celebration, very passionate, very World Cup-like atmosphere. And what a big boost for soccer at all levels in Houston.
You mentioned Man City. Star of the night for them was Kevin De Bruyne. We've been trying to figure out exactly how to say that name. I was listening to John Champion say it during the goal, and I bring that up because in the middle of the goal celebration, he brought up what's at stake for Kevin De Bruyne. You have the potential for a Champions League title and also a World Cup, being that he is on the Belgian national team. I want to kind of stretch this to world soccer. Who has the most pressure as far as winning a Champions League finally, Man City or PSG?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think they're both trying to very much covet that. I would think Guardiola. I don't know. You know, if you're a PSG fan, you're going to say PSG. If you're a Man City fan, you're going to say Man City. I think Man City, because that's one of the reasons why Guardiola has been brought there. Yet, you know, the degree of difficulty in winning the Premier League title year after year after year is pretty stunning. And, you know, like I had this conversation with somebody and a lot. I just find it amazing how Guardiola, Klopp, those two teams are heads above everybody. All right, let's face it, when it comes to consistency, style of play, attractiveness, and how they can get these guys to perform and be that consistent game after game. Even when they lose, they're generally the better team in all data and statistical categories. I just find it fascinating, these guys, the way they lead their teams and what type of performances they can get out of these multi-million dollar athletes on a consistent basis. And, you know, anybody who watches the Premier League knows those two teams really are heads above everybody else.
You talked about their preparation and you mentioned the managers. When you call games, you're getting prepared for games, you're getting stuff ready for your show.
I had his book, his preparation book that I actually gave back to him, but I wanted to keep it.
That was nice of you. That was nice of you. When you're not calling a match, watching one, when you just want to sit down and watch a match for fun, who are the teams, who are the tacticians that you enjoy watching the most?
Yeah, that's a great question. I go to teams that aesthetically play the game, with a lot of movement, a lot of mobility, teams that, you know, have individuals that combined with their tactics, their movement, their mobility, can make special plays, right? So, you know, I love watching a Man City. I love watching a Bayern Munich. I love watching Copa Libertadores in South America because there is an off-the-rails feeling to that. And while watching Copa Libertadores, I can look at kind of players that maybe Major League Soccer is going to target, right? Like Julian Alvarez last night from River Plate, you know, I don't know, 2.5 weeks ago, I'm watching him play for River Plate in the Copa Libertadores and in a concrete stadium with fans going nuts, which is very, very different than a Premier League setting. And now he's out here with Kevin De Bruyne in Man City, and to see him integrated also to me is really, really interesting. To see Haaland eventually integrated into a Man City team, these are the things that I just find really fascinating. And I think this is what you guys like too in sports. You like seeing how different players will integrate with different teams. So there's so much soccer out there to watch now, which is challenging for MLS, that, you know, you can really, it's soup du jour. And I like watching American players performing on top clubs as well.
What do you think about, as we head towards the World Cup, the Americans and getting ready and everything? How are we looking, Glenn?
I'm very optimistic about this U.S. team, and this is the one thing that I keep that really jumps into my brain. All the World Cups that we've participated in, you know, we've had these unbelievable, the ones we've been successful and advanced in, we've had these incredible, you know, we're applauding the cavalier spirit of the American athlete. Look at the fight and the determination, and then we get that backed up with outstanding goalkeeping, right? And that's kind of been our World Cup modus operandi. This group of young guys at 20, 21, 22, who are making this their own national team, they're unprecedented. They're playing on Juventus. They're playing on Dortmund. They're playing on Barcelona. They're playing on Chelsea. This is unprecedented times for American soccer players. And they're playing as young guys, and they're getting minutes. And I think, for once, in a group with Wales, England, and Iran, we are going to see a more progressive United States team that's going to be willing, for large portions of the game, to take it to an opponent. And they have the horses to do that athletically. The biggest thing will be, obviously, it'll be a first World Cup for a lot of people. It's a little bit of point of contention around the goalkeeping position. But I think that's the really interesting thing for me to see going into this World Cup. You know, we're not sitting back against Wales. We're not sitting back against Iran, right? So I think that's something to really keep an eye on.
Yeah, growing up as an American soccer fan, going into these World Cup matches, it was pretty much hold, hope for a chance. It will be a bit of a change. And you mentioned the talk around the goalkeepers. You have Zach Steffen, Man City player, going out on loan. You have Matt Turner going to Arsenal. One looking for opportunities to play, leaving a big club. The other going to a big club and not probably going to play. How do you think those two situations will affect who's the first choice keeper when it comes to the World Cup?
Yeah, well, whoever's playing more is going to have the upper hand. I mean, I think that's why Zach Steffen made the move. I mean, you know, he was solidly the number two. They bring in Stefan Ortega, Man City, who, by the way, played last night. They played a couple of their new guys. They played Julian Alvarez as well, and I think Calvin Phillips came on in the second half. Honestly, it was hard to watch the game because there was just so much talking. Do not try to watch a game when you go to a suite. That's my advice. But
talking to the wrong guy, Glenn.
Yeah. Why would you go anywhere other than a suite? Okay.
Because
they got a bar right there, Glenn.
Yes, and we had our great. I had with me my great presenting sponsor of Soccer Matters, John Daspit of the Daspit Law Firm.
Oh, so that's awesome!
That was good. He had a great time. He's a big soccer fan too, by the way. And that's not just somebody on the radio saying that. He really is. But yeah, I think the Zach Steffen thing is fascinating. He's going to Middlesbrough, and you know, he's going to be hopefully getting first team minutes, and then we'll see what happens with Turner. Does he get loaned out? Does he, you know, compete for the job? If he does and he's not getting games, who knows? But look, they've all played in Gold Cups. They've all played in big games before. That's one to keep an eye on, though, I think, that you bring up.
Staying in the Premier League, newly promoted Fulham has a couple of Americans, particularly Anthony Robinson, will get his chance to show what he's capable of against the best players in the world. Do you think he is an entrenched member of that back four?
For the U.S.?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he is a left. I mean, he's definitely the incumbent in the left-back position. He's got a great engine getting forward, up and down. There's a guy that got brought in a while back, and I like him because, you know, again, to a progressive U.S. team and being a team that, that can press in higher areas of the field to win the ball closer to an opponent's goal. You know, he's one of those guys, and he's going to bring you whips and get you some delivery from a wide area. So, I like him a lot. I think a lot of people like him.
That's Glenn Davis. Last night, big night for the city of Houston, the friendly Club America and Man City going at it. And great stuff. I just wanted to get your take. We want to get your take as we head to the World Cup, Glenn. Any news, we are going to get to Glenn. Tuesday night, still, I mean, you were on at 6 last Tuesday, right?
Well, the guys on the wheelhouse were nice enough to move the schedule around because, you know, we were trying to do it around the Man City training session. And I was in New Jersey, and I was just sitting there thinking, you know, this would be a really cool thing to do. And, you know, to get down there live, be around it, be able to come back from breaks and, you know, mention what Guardiola's doing and what Haaland's doing and De Bruyne's doing. And, you know, again, this soccer community has got so many people. I mean, look, every single person who bought a ticket last night, I mean, this is the reason why we're getting the World Cup here. Okay, the reason why we're getting the World Cup is top to bottom at every level of the sport. We got incredible passion. We got people from all over the world. At the end of the day, you got to fill stadiums, and Houston has done that for the big international content.
Absolutely. Yeah, what a great night. Glenn, we appreciate it, man, and we will talk to you again soon. Anything that happens, make sure you check in. Soccer Matters, Tuesday nights right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Glenn Davis, thanks, bud.
Guys, thank you. And, John, to all of you at the station, I mean, it's very meaningful that mainstream guys like you recognize the sport in a big way, enjoy it, or passionate about it. That is a huge thing. So I just want to make sure I remind people of that. So thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it. That's Glenn Davis, the foremost authority on soccer here in the city of Houston, maybe in the nation.
He's a great ambassador for the sport.
He is. Has been. We appreciate him. 944 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Taking a break, and when we come back, news of the weird. And it is weird today as opposed to other days.
When it's not so weird?
Yeah. You know what's weird is having bugs in your house. Do you want bugs in your house? No! Who wants bugs in their house? That's gross. Don't be gross. If you got bugs, listen, it was funny. I walked into the garage the other day, and there was an outdoor roach that was on its back in the garage. And I was like, Scott McGrath doing work. That's what Scott McGrath do. That bug didn't even make it to the door, the garage, to try to get into the house. That's Scott McGrath at his best. And killing them before they're even close to the house. That's what my man does. My man kills all the mosquitoes in my backyard, too, because I got the mosquito murdering system. Look, Scott McGrath kills. He's a serial bug killer. It's what he does every single day. You don't want bugs, you call Scott McGrath. You don't want mosquitoes, call Scott McGrath. You don't want varmints, because he's got a department, a wildlife department as well. He can get rid of those varmints, whatever they are, around your house. Look, if you're looking for the best way to kill them, you don't want them. Nobody needs them. You're gross if you've got bugs at your house. You get go to McGrathPestControl.com. McGrathPestControl.com. Tell them you heard it right here.
ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
News of the Weird brought to you by Simple Seats. Better prices, no fees. It's that simple. Dell, what's the most expensive Subway sandwich? Like, ooh. What would it cost?
Oh, what would one cost?
Yeah.
For a foot long or something?
Yeah. Probably.
What's $9 to $10? I haven't been to Subway in a couple of years now. Something like that.
Yeah.
If you're not adding on extras.
How about $1,840? That's an expensive sandwich, right?
What is on the sandwich?
Well, it doesn't matter. Apparently, an Australian woman flying back from Singapore, she forgot that she had a Subway sandwich in her backpack, and it cost her $1,840 in fines.
Ooh,
that is one expense. That better have some pepperoni on it.
It wouldn't matter.
Double cheese.
It wouldn't matter.
$1,840.
Always know the rules.
Just so dumb. That is so dumb. There's a man in Stuart, Florida, Del, that does his yard work out front. Naked. Does Granny ever do her yard work next door to your house naked?
I'm never looking outside. She might. I'm not looking.
Do you think, and look, there's a picture of him bending over here.
It's not a great shot. It's blurred out, thankfully, for us. But for the people,
even still,
the
person I can imagine it.
For the person who's filming that, can't be good.
Yeah.
Apparently, if you're naked on your property, it's still indecent exposure.
Even if
it's your own property. So he cannot, at least in Texas it's still Florida.
He can do it.
Do we know the rules in Florida for that? It could be completely different in Texas because I just got the Texas ruling.
Yeah.
Is he allowed to be naked on his property, as long as he's not doing
full public view. No,
not trying to sexually arouse someone sexually arouse himself.
You're still indecent exposure. Gross. Put some clothes on.
What if it was an attractive woman? Would it still be indecent?
That's a different story.
Exposure, but it's not indecent.
If I was the judge, not guilty.
You'd be a terrible
judge. By reason of hotness.
That's not a reason to do someone not
guilty. It is to me. An Uber driver was called in Houston. Houston Police Department say, this actually happened. A man was shot, apparently. Three men fired rounds at each other after an altercation near the 1800 block of Wirt Road in Houston's northwest side at 8:20 p.m. One man was shot. I think he took a couple of bullets. And his buddy called Uber.
To go to the hospital?
To go to the hospital. To take him to the hospital. Do you think the best way to get your buddy to the hospital is calling Uber?
If you don't want him to make it there alive.
And if I'm the Uber driver, hey.
I'm not picking up a guy who got shot.
You're bleeding all over the place.
Are you going to pay for that?
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. I got to lay down plastic for you to get in my car.
This whole thing is problematic.
Bad decisions all around.
Yeah. It just seems like that to me. Apparently, in Stanislaus County, they mistakenly stamped on hundreds of official tax letters, "Let's go, Brandon."
You think it was mistaken?
In Modesto, California, Stanislaus County, do you want a let's go, Brandon? I would like one.
Why do you think it was mistaken? I think they did it on purpose.
They might have done it on purpose. They
definitely did it on purpose.
They might have done it. Which is the most toxic fandom?
Buckeyes.
Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, they're a-holes. They're a-holes. They hate on anything that's not what they loved when they were kids.
Between Mission Impossible, Star Trek, Star Wars, Doctor Who, the most toxic fandom. What about Lord of the Rings? Why are they not even in here?
Can't be toxic when Thorin Oakenshield's involved.
No, you can't be toxic. What about Harry Potter fans?
Well, they don't like the creator anymore.
No, they don't like the creator, but they also changed Quidditch, the name of Quidditch.
To what?
It's called Quad something.
Why
now.
Quidditch? Why was Quidditch a problem?
I don't know if they want to give her credit or something, whatever.
Oh, well, if you look at that Harry Potter, the money lending beings in that, that's a rough one for J.K., what she made them look like. That was rough.
Yeah. A drunk man, I like this guy. Apparently, he laid in the street in protest of a hotel for not letting him in a room. It was the wrong room. They wouldn't let him in. So he laid on the street, and police had to come and
I don't know. I don't understand people at all. These are some things you're just like, how were you raised? Is there something just not clicking? I don't know people.
No, alcohol can change how you were raised. It can change a lot.
Can't blame
you.
The parents for
it
that.
It changes a lot about
you. Well, you were raised on alcohol, though.
Right. So I'm the same. Apparently, a new study out says 48% of singles over 65 watch porn every day.
Over 65.
48%. That's one out of two over 65-year-old.
Well, it's tough out there.
Watches
the
porn. Yeah, because you ain't got none.
What do you... Did they tell us what they're watching? Like, what are the categories? Are they looking for younger, or do they watch the mature stuff? Because they want to be with people of their own age, or look at people of their own age.
Probably watching younger. Who wants to see that? The mature...
Well, there's a category for
it. I know there is.
So somebody does.
But do you, because of Granny?
Now, why would I look at it on the laptop when I have it in real life? Why would I do that? It doesn't make any sense, John.
That is true. You could just look out the window. Hopefully Granny's doing it naked. A woman bought her husband a sex doll that looks just like her so they could have threesomes.
That's a terrible gift. That's a gift for you to make sure he's always fantasizing. Is it like a 15-year younger version of you? Like when he married you, that's what you look like? Not what you look like now?
That's what it is.
She gave that doll bigger breasts.
The doll is more endowed than she is, yeah.
Why a threesome that involves two people who look alike, so twins is what she's asking for? Does her husband have a twin fetish?
Does she like that?
Does she want to have sex with herself? It's always possible.
It's possible. It was possible before that.
Well, I'm sure she was doing that before that, too. Yeah.
9:56, we're done. Hope you enjoyed it. We've got Vanessa and Gallant next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Glenn Davis, thanks for stopping by. We really appreciate you. And we will talk to you again tomorrow, buddy.